when they had their last one, and their first one too, really. But, you know, people went to see, went over to see the baby, and they said, we'd like to see the baby. And Sarah said, well, you have to wait till he cries. And they said, okay. And they waited, never cried. So they left. They came back and they said, we want to see the baby. Well, you have to wait till he cries. And he never cried. So whatever. They finally, the third day came back. They said, we want to see the baby. You have to wait till he cries. Why do you have to wait till he cries? I got to, you know, I forget where I put him. If you're not old, you would understand that. As you get older, you realize that. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, and beginning with verse 1, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him, that is upon Jesus, to hear the word of the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. I'm going to read more of this, and we're going to get into more of this, but you know, here's a picture of some fishermen, and that's what we are. We know that, you know, Jesus makes it very clear that if we will follow him, he will make us fishers of men. And so the comparison is very clear. The picture is very clear that these men were fishermen, and yet here we find them in Luke chapter 5, and the Bible says they're washing their nets. I'm afraid that's where many of us are today, where many churches are today. You see, nets are not made. You know, the purpose of nets is not to wash, but to fish. And they were washing their nets. The reason they were washing their nets because they had gotten discouraged and they had really given up and they had really quit. They'd thrown in the towel, as it were, as far as fishing, because they'd fished all night, as you recall, and hadn't taken anything. You know, here's where I see us today in the sense that, you know, you can relax inside, even though outside you may act like you're still going the same way in the same, you know, the same fervor and whatever. But actually inside, you have really begun to wash your net. And you're just kind of, you know, going to coast on out until Jesus comes, you know. And so now you're spending your time, you know, washing the net instead of working the net. Amen? Instead of using the net and bringing in the fish, that is the men that need Christ. We're washing the net. I'm saying that I see a picture here of many of us in the church today. That is, we've quit what we used to be. We used to be fishers of men, and now we're just real proud of our net. You know, our doctrine is straight. We know the Word of God. We've memorized a lot of it, and our lives are clean, and that's all good and fine and wonderful. But that's not really, you know, I mean, we're to be fishers of men. We're still to be fishing. And these men, I think, are a picture of us today. And you know, when you come to this place in your life, where some of you are right now, spiritually, there's three things you can do. One of three things you can do. First of all, you can resign, you know, just quit completely. Or you can become resigned. That's where most people are. Just kind of say, well, this is the way it is. It's kind of like some marriages, you know. I believe marriage ought to be good all the way out to the end. I don't believe that you get married and have a little brief honeymoon and then you just kind of grit your teeth and kind of hang on and say, well, we're going to make it out to the end. We're not going to get divorced, you know. But I despise this married life. I think it ought to be sweet and joyful and enjoyable all the way through your life. And that's what it can be. The same is true of the Christian life. But you know, you can become resigned to the spiritual condition you're in and just kind of say, well, this is the way it is. You know, we're just going to, you know, people are gospel hardened. People aren't getting saved anymore. No one really cares. No one really is concerned. The days of great revival, the days of winning many people to Christ is over, and you can become resigned to the status quo. Amen. Or You can re-sign. Amen? This week ought to be a time when we re-sign. Revival is re-signing and saying to God, God, I want to sign up again. Amen? I want to get back in again. I want to believe you like I once believed in you, Lord. I want to see your work, dear God, as I once really desired to see your work. I want God to stir up his hunger in me again this week that I once had, that I might really be hungry to see men and women saved and not be content just to somehow see one saved now and again and say, well, you know, it's the last days and that's about all we're ever going to see. God, help me to re-sign. Amen? Amen. I heard about the church planter, the dear godly man that traveled in the Northeast some 100 years ago, and he would go into an area up there and he'd plant a church and get some folks serving God and get a pastor there, and then he would move on to a new area that needed a church, and that's what he was doing there in the Northeast part of our country. And he went into one area and got a church going, and boy, it really became a real thriving church, and they were really seeing many saved, and God brought a man to the fore there that was to be the pastor, and they installed him as the pastor, and they chose as their motto, where there is no vision, the people perish. And they made a sign that put over the platform, where there is no vision, the people perish. And they had a great farewell service for this church planter, and he moved on to another area, and later to another area, and some 20 years later, he came back through that area, and thought, well, I'm going to stop by and visit that fellowship of church, fellowship there, that church, and he came to that town, and he went out to where the church was, and he saw it was all closed up, and boarded up, and cobwebs growing over everything, and the weeds growing up, and he thought, what in the world could have happened? And finally he pulled a board off a window and got in through a window into the inside the building and began looking around and wondered what in the world could have happened to this church. And he looked up over the platform where they had that sign, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the W had fallen off of the sign. It left it saying, here, there is no vision, the people perish. And how true that is today, that where there is no vision, the people perish. First of all, those that have no vision perish. We perish. I mean, spiritually, you begin to shrivel up and dry up when you lose your vision. Amen. But not only do we perish, but they are perishing. Amen. They are perishing. We sang number 2 this morning. That song, I don't know about you, I sang the first 2 lines and that's all I could sing. It went through me this morning to think about those unsaved ones. And I'm saying this morning that God needs somehow this week to do something in our hearts. And this missions conference, I pray, will become a mission revival. Yeah. That God will really stir us up afresh and anew. And some of you this morning, you've come really not expecting a whole lot this week. You really haven't come really expecting God to do a whole lot. Or you expect to see your friends and renew fellowships and, you know, slap each other on the back and all of that kind of stuff and have some good food and a few good things. But, you know, not really expecting God for a whole lot. But let me tell you something. God wants to do something great and mighty. Amen. God wants to do something. And I'm of the opinion, y'all, forgive me, I'm not in any way picking on anybody this morning, but I don't believe, you know, we talk about, Sister Marty talked about her little work and what little things she does and so forth. Let me tell you something, there's nothing little in God's work. There is nothing little in God's work. If you're doing it for God, you quit thinking little, amen? I started out thinking little because I was born little. Amen. I mean, I really did. I started out thinking little. When I got saved, you know, I thought little. I was a little guy, and then I married a little girl. I mean, I'm 5'7". She's 5'2". We were going backwards. And then we had 5 little children. Amen. We lived in a little house. We drove a little car. I started a little church. They paid me a little salary. It really was little. Amen. And that was always little until one day God just helped me. God spoke to me and God said to me, lift up your eyes.
Amen.
And look on the fields. I thought that I had a little ministry in that little neighborhood. And we was going to reach that little Denver Heights neighborhood where we started out there in that little storefront building. And that's my vision was that. I thought, well, if we could reach this neighborhood. And God said one day, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white in the harvest. And God in that day really did something for me. And I've never felt little since then. I've never seen my work as little. I've never seen anything about what I'm doing as being little because I'm doing it for Him.
Amen.
I'm doing it for Him. But I'm saying this morning that we need to re-sign this week.
Amen.
I hope there'll be some folks this week on your knees. You'll get that contract from God again and say, God, I want to sign up again. I want to put my name on the line again, dear Lord. I want to get out of this rut. I want to get out of this deadness I'm in. I want to get stirred up again.
Amen.
Oh God. You know, it is so easy today, to get people to believe in the God who used to be. No problem. Everybody believes in the God who used to be. It's no problem to get people to believe in the God who's going to be. The problem is to believe in the God who is.
Amen.
Now, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, is not only the God, He's not only Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever, He's the same today.
Amen.
Amen? He's the same today. And we need to realize that. I'm saying that there's some things that we need this morning. If you're washing your net, here's what you need and here's what we need this week. Number one, we need our vision renewed. If you can sing some of these songs and God not break your heart, you need your vision renewed. If you can sing about souls dying and going to hell and burning forever and think about those type of things and it does not move you, you I don't mean you have to have tears outside. Maybe you don't weep that easy. I don't, but there ought to be a broken heart. There ought to be tears inside. There ought to be something that when you think about men that are lost and without hope and without God, it ought to concern us. And I'm saying, brother, one thing that we need is we need a vision, a renewed vision. I mean, our vision has become clouded or become obscured maybe completely. We need a renewed vision. We need to see again what we once saw. I mean, there was a time when you saw something. Amen. I mean, when you saw what, I think you saw what God could see. I mean, you saw the multitudes and Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion, the Bible says. He was moved. He was stirred. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I don't want to ever get beyond that.
Amen.
I mean, God deliver me from getting to a place to where I just kind of, accept this deadness and this coldness and just kind of going through life and, which is where so many of God's people are at. I'm saying we need our vision renewed. You know the thing that made the Apostle Paul, I don't know about you, but I wondered, for a long time, what in the world was there about that man that made him the man he was? I mean, he was a man, amen, like Elijah, man of like passions as we are. What was it that influenced him to make him the man that he was? Well, I believe it was the visions he had. I believe, first of all, he had the vision of Jesus on the road there to Damascus. I mean, he saw Christ. He saw Him, brother, as His Savior. I mean, he saw that he was a sinner, deserving hell, and he saw Christ. Amen. Clearly, plainly, brother. I mean, he didn't just think he was saved. I mean, he got born again.
Amen.
But you know, also he had another vision as he prayed, seeking the will of God, and God helped him to see a man. Amen. He didn't just see a mission. He saw a man. He didn't just see a work. He saw a man. A man, a Macedonian saying, come over and help us. We need help. He heard that man crying out, help, help, help. And I don't think Paul ever got over that. I think, brother, in his ears, he could hear the men crying, help, help. Brother, like a man drowning in a sea of water, a man dying in a burning building, help. Help! And they're still out there crying help. And I'm saying we need our vision renewed.
Amen.
Amen. to realize it's not just to, the goal is not just to raise X number of dollars to do something. Our job, our call is to go out and rescue these men that are calling out and needing help, amen, needing Christ. And I'm saying we need a renewed vision. You know, I believe this. I believe that a God-given vision will keep us going when nothing else will. Brother, I mean, if you depend on your friends, amen, even your Christian friends, I mean, you know, you get burned. I mean, some of them, brother, they'll get so weighted down, they'll weight you down if you don't have something beyond that. But brother, if you and I've got a God-given vision, it'll keep us just going on, amen. I mean, when everything else is falling apart, I mean, just keep on pressing on. God's given me a vision. And God gave you a vision. But you know, it's easy to lose that vision, and we need to renew it. Keep it fresh. Amen? I mean, not just once a year in mission revival either, but I believe, brother, often we need to keep that vision fresh before our eyes. God, help me never to lose sight. Amen? I heard about this event took place several years ago of the USS Wasp, and it ran into a smaller ship out at sea. And just the ship just was hit amidships, and it just broke open, and just started sinking just like that. And this sailor testified later. He said it was at night, and he said I will never to my dying day forget seeing those men out there in the water screaming for help. I'll never forget that. He said. I the longest day I live, I'll never forget that. Oh, but we forget those men who are out on the sea of life, and they're calling out help. With the waters taking them under. I'm saying tonight, today we need a God-given vision. A renewed vision. Amen. Amen. May the Lord help us to have this renewed vision. I think about Amy Carmichael's dream. You may have read about the cry of the blood. But Amy Carmichael, who became a great missionary, servant of God, she tells that the thing that really touched her heart was a vision that God gave her. She said that she saw in this vision, she saw a sea of humanity moving towards a precipice. And when they got to the precipice, instead of stopping, they just were falling over like a human waterfall and just perishing, going to their death. And she said she wondered why don't they, when they get to the edge of the precipice, why don't they realize what's down there and stop? And then she said she realized they were all blind, and they were marching, ever marching, and falling over the precipice, ever marching, and behind another wave, and another wave. And that's where humanity is this morning. They're marching, they're blind.
Amen.
Oh yes, blind. I mean, without the light of this world, they're blind.
Right.
Marching towards judgment and death and hell. And I'm saying we need a renewed vision to see humanity without God and without any hope this morning. May God help us. But not only do we need a renewed vision, the second thing we need is we need our love for Christ rekindled. I tell you, it's easy to somehow fall out of love with Jesus. Oh yes, still saved, certainly on the way to heaven, absolutely, but just to fall out of love, not to love. You know, Jesus rebuked the church at Ephesus. Amen? He rebuked that church at Ephesus, and he said to that church at Ephesus, he said, you've lost your first love. Amen? You've left your first love. That's easy to leave your first love. Well, I'll tell you what, we just need to stay, in love with Jesus. And if you begin to fall out of love, you need to try to work at getting back in love with Jesus again. I believe it's important for us not only to serve Jesus. See, I could serve my wife. Amen. But you know, I don't think she would take it for long if I just served her. Or I sure wouldn't take it long if she just served me. You know, if I said to her, well, do you love me? Well, not really, but I am serving you. You don't love me? Well, not really. But I am still fix your breakfast in the morning, you know, and your dinner. Your supper, you know, still make the bed, still wash your clothes, you know, do all that, clean the house. You don't love me? No, not really. Not like I once did. But, isn't that good enough? No, it's not good enough for me. I got to have a little bit of love. Amen. I've got to have this warmth. Amen. I don't believe that Jesus is pleased with us just serving Him. I mean, we may serve Him. You know, sometimes when you lose that fervor and that love, you know, you even increase your activity for Him. Amen. You've lost your vision and your love for Him, and so you say, well, I've just got to do more. Well, that's not going to please Him. I'm saying we need somehow to have our love for Christ rekindled during this week. You know, the fire can so easily burn down. And there ain't a whole lot in this world that's helping to stoke that fire. There's all kinds of stuff trying to, you know, quench that fire. And we just have, this is not something your wife can do for you, your husband can do for you. It's not something your pastor can do for you. It's something really you have to do yourself. You just have to, you just have to draw close to Jesus. And you just have to somehow, spend some time with Him. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I mean, this relationship we have with Jesus ought to be, such a real thing, but ought to be a warm thing. And we ought to just tell Him you love Him. Make love to Jesus. Amen. I mean, my wife has never, ever in her life, excuse me for using you again, sweetheart, but my wife has never in my life ever said to me, would you quit telling me, you know, so much you love me? I just get tired of hearing that. Huh? I doubt if any wife has ever told her husband, you know, you just wear me out. You just tell me that and tell me that. I'm tired of hearing it. But I have heard a lot of wives say, you know, my husband never tells me he loves me. Do you ever tell Jesus you love Him? I mean, do you ever really, you know, tell Him, I mean, really spend some time telling Jesus, I love you. And to hear Him say, I love you too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We just need to draw near to Him. The Bible says, as we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. But we can get so far away that our heart towards Him begins to grow cold. And the Lord Jesus is not pleased with that. The church at Laodicea was not cold. It wasn't a cold church. You know, someone said, well, you know, we've got a real warm church. Hey, that's no good. Amen. Come visit our church. It's a real warm fellowship. That's not good enough. Amen. God said that is sick.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
What kind of fellowship should you have? A red hot fellowship.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
A red hot. Amen. You're not cold. You're not hot. You're lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. We need to be red hot towards Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Our love ought to just be real. Amen. Warm. No. Hot. Amen.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Would your wife or husband accept the degree of affection for her or him that you have for Jesus? Well, most of the wife husbands would say no. Amen. I mean, no. If I didn't love my wife, amen, with a real, if I need to love Jesus, I'm saying certainly not only as much as my wife, but even more so than that. And I'm saying we need our love for Christ rekindled. Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? There wasn't no question about the fact that Peter loved Jesus. See, Jesus knows you love him. But it was not a matter of do you love me. He said, do you love me more than these? I think it's significant. He didn't say these what, because he meant these everything. That's what he meant. He meant these, you fill in the blank. These businesses, these cars, these homes, this world, whatever it may be, do you love me more than everything else in this world? And we need to. God knows if we don't love Him more than everything else in this world, then we don't love Him enough. Lovest thou me more than these? You fill in the blank. Lord, you know I love you. No, He said, but you love me more than these. Do you love me more? Well, Lord, but do you love me more than anything else? And He's asking us this morning, what degree of love do you have for Jesus? What is your degree of love for Jesus? Well, I'll tell you how you can tell. Do you put anything ahead of Jesus? Do you allow anything else to come in front of Jesus? I mean, if you know that Jesus wants you to do something and then you know someone else wants you to do something that would be contrary to that, you know, which way do you go?
That's right.
Huh? You know, Jesus calls men out to preach. Amen. He still calls men out to preach. No matter what may happen within the Episcopal Church or any other church, Jesus doesn't call women to preach.
Amen.
Amen. He calls men. And when God calls men, their wives are called to follow them. Amen. Old Brother Reno Davis said that he went home and told his wife Elsie, honey, God has called us to go to Haiti. She said, well, He didn't tell me. He said, He told me to tell you. Amen. What I'm saying is this, that some men have been called out to serve God in a certain way or a certain place. And the wife said, I'm not going. Or has made it very clear, if you go, you pay for it. Sometimes that's worse than the fact that she didn't, you know, actually didn't go. She goes, you know, and she's dragging her feet all the way. You know. And so he said, well, I won't go then. His love for Jesus isn't what it ought to be. Amen. You love me more than these, whatever it is. You say, Brother Joe, you mean if your wife wouldn't serve God, that you'd go on to serve God? I've never had to face that, but if she did, I mean, thank God she's not only been a willing helper, she's been an enthusiastic helper. But if she didn't, I think that I could say honest before God, I'd just go on. I'm saying this morning, we need our love for Christ rekindled. We need to love Him this morning. We need to love Him like we once loved Him. Once you were in love with Jesus, you really loved Him. I mean, you made love to Him. You told Him of your love for Him. I mean, you spoke to Him often throughout the day, not just in prayer where you got on your knees, but throughout the day. But, you know, you've gotten away from that. We need our love for Christ rekindled. You know, the third thing we need this morning, we need our purpose in life reaffirmed. You know, if you're not careful, I'll tell you what, you sure can get messed up on this matter. What is our purpose in life? Amen? What really, I mean, all of us. I'm not just picking out the missionaries. What is our purpose in life? I mean, why doesn't Jesus save us? You ever think about this? Why doesn't Jesus save us and then just kill us? Amen? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Save us and then zap us, you know? And go straight to heaven. Amen? No trials. Amen? No troubles, no problems. Amen? Save us and zap us. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Why does He leave us here? We have a purpose. Why does He leave us here? We have a purpose. Our purpose is what? Is to reach men and women for Jesus Christ. That's my purpose in life. Amen? I mean, that my purpose is not to go to an 8-to-5 job. That's something I have to do, maybe. But that's not my purpose in life.
Amen.
My purpose, I mean, I may have a business, but that's not my purpose in life.
Amen.
My purpose in life is to bring men and women to Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? If not, then I believe God would save us and just zap us. But we have a purpose here. Ye are my witnesses, He says. I mean, amen, He's left us here as His witnesses.
Amen.
I mean, if we don't do it, I mean, who is going to do it? Amen?
Amen?
God's chosen to leave us here, and we're to be His witnesses. And yet we've lost sight of our purpose in life. You know, we can get sidetracked so easy into this world can just suck us into something. And pretty soon, brother, we're putting more and more time into that and less time into what our purpose in life is. Amen? I mean, you have a job and you need to work at that. You need to do a good job where you work. But that's not your purpose in life. To make money, to build houses, or to whatever it may be. Your purpose in life is to tell men and women about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need our purpose in life. Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? How long you're going to halt between two opinions? If God is God, then follow Him, he said. Amen?
Yeah.
He didn't say humor Him. He said follow Him.
Right.
If God is God, follow Him.
Yeah.
That is, get busy. Amen? That's your purpose in life. Follow Him.
Yeah.
If Baal is God, that is, if the things of the world is God, then follow that. Amen?
Yeah.
If I were to wake up one day and find that one to God, man, I'd get in the world. Man, I'd go 90 miles an hour that way. But I'm trying to go 90 miles an hour this way.
Yeah.
You know, the easiest thing in this world and the temptation in this world is to settle down. Amen? And just kind of, you know, hit a... It's kind of like we was out in the yard, I guess it was Friday, before the kids came up this weekend for our West reunion. And Doris said, hey, come here. And I went up there and she said, look up there. And there was a buzzard up there and he caught him a thermal. I mean, it's an air. I said, look at that. You know, huh? Boy, that was smooth sailing. He hit him a nice, you know, spot. You know, you can do that in life. You can just get a little groove worked out, get things all just set up right, and you can just go,
yeah.
Huh? Amen?
Yeah.
But that's not your purpose in life.
Right.
Amen. God didn't leave us here to sail. Amen. Left us here to slog. Amen. Trudge. Amen. Work. Amen. He said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Go work. Amen. Well, I'd like to get in the ministry. Yeah, okay. You ready to work? Oh, is there work in there? Yes. Amen. That's what it's all about. Work.
That's right. Amen.
Huh? Amen. We need our purpose in life reaffirmed. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Amen. That's your purpose in life. Follow Jesus. Amen. And then, may I say in the fourth place, we need our prayer life restored. I'll tell you what, first thing to go, our prayer life. And I'm not talking about just saying your prayers at night or maybe saying your prayer over your meal. You know, let me ask you this. How many people do you know today, even in this fellowship, and which I think is got to be the cream of the crop? I mean that. But how many people do you know here, if you got in a real sure enough jam where you needed God? I mean, you needed God to do something. How many people do you know you could call and think, boy, I know he could get a hold of God. I know she can get a hold of God. There ain't a whole lot of people getting a hold of God anymore. That's what I'm saying. We say our prayers and some pray a little more than others, but there aren't a whole lot of folks that really just wrestling with God and really getting a hold of God anymore. Amen. We're getting a hold of everything else. Amen. But we're not getting a hold of God. And I'm saying we need our prayer life restored. We need to get back. You know, Jesus talked about a prayer closet, about getting, you go into your prayer closet, he said, close the door. Why? Well, shut everything out, amen, and get serious. Huh? Well, we're kind of like this. Now lay me down to sleep, prepare the Lord my soul to keep, amen, to hop into bed, amen? I said my prayers today, huh? Can't you see that prayer warrior? She struggles against the powers of darkness. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, God, help us. Help us, dear Lord, to pray. He said that the fields are white. The labors are few. What do we do, Lord? Pray! Pray! Not just say prayers, but pray! Get a hold of God! Pray! Why aren't we seeing more effect in some of these places? Brother Mike, brother, we need to pray! Amen. Thank God for fasting and prayer. Brother, we need somehow to get back to where we pray again and get with God and shut the door and shut everything out and shut ourselves in and pray until we've talked to God. And you know, I don't mean you have to take 24 hours to get a hold of God, but I tell you, sometimes it takes a while to get all the nonsense out of your head and all the confusion until you can get down and then you can talk to God. The old timers used to talk about praying through. I never did understand that. I understand it now. It means praying, brother, till you finally get through with all this nonsense, you know, and then you pray. Then you've got through. We need our prayer life restored. We need to start praying again. My, what a difference it'd make. This week.
Amen.
This week, if we would pray, I mean, really get a hold of God. Brother, this thing would catch on fire. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, brother, we'd feel the presence of God. We'd be aware of, brother, of God moving our lives. And, brother, we'd see a fresh start. That's what revival is. Amen. A fresh beginning. My, how wonderful it is to get a new start. You know, have God give you a new page of clean sheet and say, start all over. Man, that's wonderful. Amen. Man, I messed this sheet I've got here up. And, man, I've got it all. God, thank you for a fresh start. We need our prayer life restored. And then the last place, we need our faith. We need our faith revitalized. Our faith has grown so weak and so feeble and so frail. We need to believe God as we once believed God. Amen. I don't give this thing over to, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, I know he's the God of Abraham. I know he's the God of Jacob. He's the God of Isaac, but he's my God. He's my God today. Amen. I don't believe that, brother, that the days of miracles, the day of God's power is past. I believe the day of miracles are still here.
Amen.
Because God is still here.
Amen.
And God is a, you know, He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. But that's a miracle. Amen. To show us things that we've never seen before. God wants to work some of those miracles in our lives. And we need our faith revitalized. We get to where we really don't believe God for much anymore. You know, it's just very apparent. You know, it's very apparent in our conversation. How you doing, brother? Well, all right under the circumstances. What? What are you doing under the circumstances? Amen? God never put anybody under circumstances. God put us over everything. Amen? We're more than conquerors. Now, I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen? And I'm saying that we need our faith really revitalized, renewed, refreshed, to back to the place where we really believe God for the great things, the mighty things. We believe His Word again. It's real to us again. You remember when you were a brand new Christian and the preacher got up and say something, you just... Huh? John 3:16. Amen. But you know, we don't believe that anymore. Oh, it's just verses. It's just the Bible. You know? You know, it'd be good. It would be wonderful if it was so, but you know, it really ain't so. This is 1997. Hey man, let's get with it, you know? That's all passe. Oh no. It's all very real. All things are possible to him that believeth. That's the catch. That's the whole crux of the matter. All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. Whatever, brother, that we can believe God for, that is of what he's told us here. Brother, God will do it for us. I'm not saying this morning that he will do for us. Amen. I'm not talking from theory, I'm talking from experience. God will do it for us. I'm simply saying today that we need our faith revitalized. We need to quit washing our net and start working our nets. Amen. God give us a harvest this week. God revitalize us. If one person got revitalized this week. You know, I'm only one, but I am one. And I can't do everything, but I can do something. I mean, with God. Amen. And I'm saying, brother, one person get revitalized, get renewed, get restored, get refreshed, get their vision restored. Brother, what in the world? Maybe God wants you to be that person. Amen. Is there anyone here that's really hungry for God? I mean, really hungry. You know, I mean, some folks, you know, they say, well, I'm hungry. They mean they didn't eat anything since, you know, 4 hours ago. Did you ever get real hungry? I mean, you know, almost hungry enough to eat mud pies. You know, I mean, really hungry. God give us a hunger this week. Whatever it takes, God give us that this week and then help us. Amen? Help us. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Our Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for your word. And I thank you, dear God, for the promise that there is, dear God, a revival. And God renewing and refreshing. And God, this morning, I know some, even right now, are struggling with that. Lord, they want to believe, but they're having a problem believing. God, I pray you'd help them to believe you. And God, Lord, to just give themselves over to you. And God, that you might work in their lives this week and accomplish your purpose. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Give an invitation. I'd like to extend an invitation this morning, number 93 this morning, for our song. I want to invite you this morning either to turn around and kneel there at your chair, or if you want to come up here in the front, I'm not just sure what you want to do, but if God's spoken to your heart. Now, I hope God has shared something with everybody this morning through all the testimonies and everything, but if God really has said something to you, I mean something serious, and you... I mean, God really has gotten a hold of your heart this morning. And you feel like that you need to just get out and re-sign. I mean, you really, you're hungry. I mean, that's all I'd be interested in this. If you know, you're really hungry. I want to ask you just to kneel there by your pew, your seat, or come here at the front of whatever you want to do. And just there, between you and God, you re-sign this morning. All right? While we sing the number 93, brother. Can you go come lead us, however?